Well, hey there. Welcome to New Life Online. My name is Robert. I'm the online pastor, and we're in part four of our Ruth series as we are going through the book of Ruth, and we are finding God in the ordinary parts of our life. So I'm joined by some awesome people for today's conversation for this exclusive online content. And so glad that you prioritize being here. If you're here live during the service, I just invite you to join in the chat and be a part of our conversation that we're having right now. There's people in the chat who would love to connect with you. So take advantage of that. But I want to take some time to allow these people to introduce themselves. So again, my name's Robert. I'm joined by
Trevor Leibarger,
Kara Sanchez,
and Jeff Baker.
So we have an awesome podcast here for you as we want to dive into some incredible things. But Pastor Jeff, I just wanted to throw it to you. Where are we at in the Ruth story right now?
All right, man. Look, if you've been tracking with us, we've gone through chapter one, and we looked at chapter two, and today we're going to get ready to jump into chapter three. But so let's back up to chapter two really quick. We find that Ruth is in the field. She's picking grain to try to feed her and Naomi. She runs into Boaz for the very first time. He's the guy who owns the land. She's not sure. She's going to get kicked off, but she finds out that he's kind. Right. And then they end up going on their first date. And when I said that in the congregation, the whole congregation, you know, they kind of like chuckled, they giggled like they were like junior hires again.
Yeah. They're all middle schoolers on the inside. Yeah. At least I am.
Yeah. Right. And everyone was like chuckling and everything. I thought it was hilarious. They went on the first date. Ruth is told like, hey, you can keep coming back here. You can pick grain all you want. And she gets to basically be a part of the crew. And then she discovers that Boaz is one of her family redeemers, not the closest relative, but a family redeemer. Kara, help everybody understand. What is a family redeemer?
Yeah, someone in the family line who steps in during tragedy or situations to provide, in this day, take care of them, buy land, marry them.
Yeah, yeah. So they came along, and in this situation, you got Naomi. She's now widowed because Elimelech, that's just a fun name to say, right? Elimelech. He dies, and then their two sons die, which one of them was married to Ruth. And so you got these two widows, and they're living together, and they're trying to survive, and they're in Bethlehem. And Boaz is coming alongside, and he's going, hey, look, you pick up as much grain as you want. And remember, she gets the chance to pick up so much grain in one day that it fills a basket, and that basket equated to 2 weeks worth of like a salary. Okay. So he's really coming along and he's helping out in whatever way that he can. And that's basically, Robert, where we find them.
Yeah. And so in this next part of the Ruth story, what we're going to be looking at, kind of the big question we're going to dive into today, is when and how do you take the relationship to the next level? So all of you people who are single, all you people who are dating, those people who are maybe looking, is it time to propose? Do we get married?
Yeah.
This is the episode for you. So to kick things off, let's start it off with a little bit of a funny note here.
All right.
In our lives, we all have people who are speaking into it. And sometimes we get good advice. Sometimes we get bad advice.
Right.
Let's say there's someone that you're interested in and people are trying to give you well-intentioned advice. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. What's some of the advice that was maybe well-intended but maybe not quite right on the nose that you guys have experienced?
I would say this right off the bat. What's that song? You better put a ring on it. Better put a ring on it.
There's a dance.
Dun, 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 dun. Already.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Is it Beyonce? Queen B?
Beyonce?
Okay.
Single ladies.
Well, I mean, I know I rocked that song, and so there's no reason to chime in and good of a voice I have. But in all craziness, like, it's the pressure sometimes that you're in this relationship and then all of a sudden everyone's like, man, did you propose already? You know, what are you doing, man? You're a loser. What are you, a slacker? Like, what are you doing? Like, if you don't do it, like, you better put a ring on her. She's going to leave. I mean, there's a lot of pressure and they're well-intended, but man, that'll mess you up.
Right? I had one person tell me the way that you get someone to fall for you is you go up to them, look them in the eyes and say, woman, I think I love you and want to marry you. I don't accept that advice, okay? I don't. That's not good
advice.
Are you
talking about, like, just in a room with a bunch of friends? You just walk up to them, you look them in the eye and go, hey, baby.
Oh, no.
Kara, would that work on you if someone did that?
No.
No way.
To all of the single guys that are looking, do not use that strategy.
Yeah, but what if they lower their voice?
No.
Hey, baby.
That actually makes it worse. Okay.
I'll bring us back to reality a little bit.
Help us out, Trevor.
You know, the advice that I always had growing up was do not enter the dreaded friend zone. If you have a girl that doesn't want to date you and will put you in the friend zone, ditch her. Get out of there. We're not getting in the friend zone. But the thing is the friend zone, if you actually want to like your spouse when you get down to that point, you actually have to be a friend. You actually have to start there. So, yes, the friend zone can be frustrating, but it might actually be the best place to start because I was friend zoned and I'm married to her. So I got out of the friend zone. So friend zone, it's not all bad.
So there's hope if you're in the friend zone.
There's always hope,
Man, that's okay.
I love that.
All right.
Well, if you guys are just joining on, we are talking about the Book of Ruth and we're looking at chapter 3 today. And we're really speaking to those of you who are in the spot where you're saying, okay, I'm in a relationship, or there's this person that I'm interested in, and I think I want to take the relationship to the next level. Maybe we've been hanging out, movies, dinner, events, things like that. We're going to be diving into some of the questions that you have. How do we take it to the next level? How do we make it official? When are we boyfriend and girlfriend? When do we introduce them to our family? That's a big move.
Yep.
When do you take it to the next level and propose? Put a ring on it. So, with all of that being said, let's dive in to Ruth chapter 3.
Let's start with the story. Let's do it. Take it away.
Ruth chapter 3 opens up like this. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours, and he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women." So Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, is sensing, hey, I think the time is now. She speaks into Ruth's life and says, I can see Boaz. I think he's interested in you. I think you're interested in him.
Yeah.
I think it's time that you tell him how you feel. So I'd like to pose the question to the group here. What are you looking for to know now's the time to take the relationship to the next level?
Okay, man. All right. Well, first off, let's just do this. Let's lay the ground rules.
Okay.
What do we mean by take it to the next level? Because when you think about it from a secular or worldly perspective, they might add some things in there that we don't really want to add in.
Yep.
Like as an example, there was a recent study that was done on 3,000 women, okay, in America. And it was done by the Institute for Family Studies. It was released on March 9th, 2023. Just new information. 3,000 women were surveyed, and they were asked the question, what are you looking for to take the relationship to the next level? Okay? So let's define what I'm talking about next level. Because for them, here's what they said. Number one, they went, here's what I'm looking for. Like, can we visit each other's families? That would be number one. Number two, which was like in a percentage way, just a couple of percent outside of that, they said, look, let's have sex. And once we have sex, I'll know if we should keep taking the relationship to the next level. Then they said, number three, let's move in together. Then I'll know if we should take it to the next level. Then they said, let's get married. Then after that, watch what happens. How do we know if we should keep taking it to the next level? Let's buy a house. And then we can take it to the next level. We can have children. All right. That's what the world is saying. And I think there's a lot of things screwed up in that, by the way. There's a lot of ungodliness in there. And there's a lot of selfishness in there. There's a lot of exploration in ways that are not going to benefit the relationship. And if you've taken this approach, you've probably found a lot of pain and hurt. So what am I saying? What are we talking about on a next level pursuit? We're talking specifically your friends now. How do I know when to take it to an official dating relationship? And then we're dating. How do I know when to take it to marriage? Okay. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So let's back it up really quick and let's talk really fast about dating. All right. Your friends. Okay. So many people, they could be all over in the stage of life. They could be an adolescent. They could be a college student. They could be a young adult. They could be someone in their 30s right now. How do I know I should actually take this to a dating relationship? I'm going to throw a couple things out there and I want to get you guys to feed in, okay? I think first off, you need godly character. You know, if when you're friends and you're just hanging out in groups, that could be in a small group, you're hanging out a youth group, You're hanging out with people at some church events or whatever. You're looking for godly character. Like, you know, are they actually who they say they are? Or are they a Sunday Christian only? Right? I think you're looking for integrity. Do they do what they say? Right? Are they people of their word? If they say they're going to do something, do they follow through with it? I think you're looking for somebody that's got the same values and morals. And I think specifically you're looking for somebody that has the same lifestyle desires. Let's just face it, man. In this world, there's a lot of people with different values and morals and lifestyle desires. You get connected too deeply with the wrong people. Here's what I've watched. Good intentioned people get warped and they get pulled down a path they never wanted to go. So what would you guys add to that? Like, you're friends and you're looking to take the relationship to an official dating boyfriend, girlfriend level. What else would you be looking for?
Yeah, I really like what you mentioned about hanging out in groups of with other people at church events or any sort of thing where you're around other people, because a really good judge of character that I found is how they interact with their friends and then who their friends say they are. Because when you're hanging out with your friends, you're yourself. You're comfortable. Your guards are down and you're your true self. And so what your friends say about you, that's a really good judge of, okay, this person is who they say that they are, not just what they're telling me because they want me to like them or they want something with me. So I love the idea of hanging out with friends and then just listening. What do your friends say about the kind of person you are?
Good. It's good.
Yeah. I just think for me, it's going to take time. I think sometimes, especially if you've been in a season of loneliness, you might have been single for a while, you might get a little bit desperate and then you just kind of pull the trigger on someone you don't really know.
Yeah.
So in order to find the right character, the right integrity, and to know that you align on values, it's going to take time. And like Kara said, do that within a group of friends and just allow yourself to be pressure free, that you don't have to jump into anything that you don't want to do. Give it enough time, feel comfortable with it, and just have the conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Robert, I mean, what do you think about this idea, though? I think a lot of people are jumping into relationships based on what Trevor was talking about. They're desperate. Mm-hmm. They're insecure. There's a lot of peer pressure, right? There's this pressure like, I mean, if I don't have somebody, then I'm not significant. But a lot of times I think they're jumping in because they don't know themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't know themselves. And now they're caught in a dating relationship that is going on for years. Because they never had a plan of why they were starting this thing. What are your thoughts, Robert? Do you agree with me or not? Like, do you agree that dating is something that should be used to discover, do I want to be married to this person for the rest of my life? And if that's the case, like, what do you think would be like an appropriate time that a person could be maybe discover that kind of a thing? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you put yourself in real danger if you're dating for too long. It should be with a purpose of, hey, we're looking to discover if we're going to get married or not. Mm. I totally agree with that. And so I think if you're looking, hey, should I start dating this person? I think you got to look. Can you see yourself getting married in 1 to 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, is that something that you see? If not, then maybe it's not the right time to pursue that relationship. Maybe there's some things you need to work on in your life.
That's good, man. I agree with you completely. I think too many people are out there and they're in these long-term dating relationships, 2, 3, 4 years. And I'm going, what are you doing? Like, if you're going that long, I guarantee you there's been like lines that you drew in the sand. You said, I'd never go here. And you've gone there. Mm-hmm. That's just what happens because you're putting yourself in temptation zone and you're losing yourself as well. All right. So how about, Liz, you're in a good dating relationship. You think marriage might be next. What are you looking for? Okay. I think you go back to everything we talked about with dating, character, integrity, values, morals, lifestyle desires. But I also think you need to add to that, are we compatible? Now, when I say that, when I say compatible, I guarantee what people are thinking right now is, wow, they like the same things that I like. We like the same food. We like the same music. We like the same band. We sing the same songs. We like the same color. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about compatibility where you recognize you're different than I am, and I love your differences. And in fact, when I look at your differences are showing up my weaknesses. That kind of compatibility, now that's a much deeper compatibility. I think you're looking at, you know, do they have similar dreams in life? And are they willing to support your goals? But lastly, I think really important, is this person going to help strengthen my relationship with Jesus? If they're not going to help strengthen your relationship with Jesus, like, warning, back out now.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys would add to that? Like, you're in a serious dating relationship and you're wondering, is this the person I should be spending the rest of my life with?
I think just a practical note of when you're also, if you're trying to discover those things, you got to be having those conversations. You got to be talking about those big things. Like, what dreams do you have? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? What's your vision for your life? And you can't go into those conversations until you know what you want. Mm. Otherwise, you're just baking things up because you want to be compatible, or you want to act like you fit together. And so I think you got to, even though it can be uncomfortable, you got to have those conversations about those things that matter, but you got to know what you want going into that conversation.
That's good. And you got to know you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what do I stand for? What are my values? What are my morals? Mm-hmm. Where am I going in life? That's very important. Good advice, Kara. Good advice. All right. So going back to the story, what does Naomi give Ruth? Like, what advice does she give her? Okay.
Ooh, I want to see this.
Oh, dude. I'm going to tell you right now. It's weird. All right.
Oh, okay.
I'm
ready.
It's weird, and it's an interesting deal. So here's what she says in Ruth 3, verses 3 and 4. Now do as I tell you. Okay, Naomi says this to Ruth. Now do as I tell you. Take a bath. Good start. Mm-hmm. Put on perfume. Another good start. Mm-hmm. And dress in your nicest clothes. That's what every good mom is telling their child when they're going out on their first date, right? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Taking it to the next level. All right. Here's what she says, though. Go out to the threshing floor, or go out to the field where they're separating the grain from the shaft, okay? But don't let Boaz see you. So sneak. Be sneaky, right? Until Boaz finishes eating his meal and drinking. Then she goes, be sure to notice where he lies down. Okay, now listen to this. You're not going to believe this. Then, Ruth, here's what I'm suggesting that you do. You go and uncover his feet, his stinky feet that have been in the field working all day. Now, what I love about it is that she doesn't go smell them. Okay, because that would have been. Now,
that's weird.
That would have been weird.
I don't think that would have been in the Bible.
That would have been funky. I don't know. There's some pretty crazy stuff in the Bible. So Naomi says, now go uncover his feet and lie down there. And then watch this. He'll tell you what to do next. And here's what Ruth does. Okay, this is what Ruth does. Ruth doesn't go, she doesn't turn her head like you just did, Robert, like a dog, like that, right? And she doesn't ask a bunch of questions. You know what she says next? Okay, I'll do it. I'm like, as a father who's raised daughters and watched them get married, I would never give my daughters this advice. Like, yeah. What's going on? What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm hearing this, and I'm hearing the scripture saying, Naomi says, uncover his feet, he's laying down, you lay down next to him and ask him what you should do. Is she telling him to have sex before marriage? Like, what's happening?
Ooh, wow. Now, that's a great question. Is she suggesting, hey, take the bath, put the perfume on, wear your nicest clothes, and get out there and uncover his feet and let him know, I'm available.
Mm, yeah.
Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, that's my question.
Oh.
You're the expert here.
My bad. Okay, I can definitively tell you no.
Okay, no, how do you know?
That's not what she's suggesting. I think first and foremost, you got to look at the entire book and you got to look at the characters here and you got to look at Boaz and you got to say to yourself, is he a guy who is actually going after this younger woman, Ruth, so that he can get in bed with her? I mean, where's the evidence of that? Mm-hmm. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in chapter 2 at all when they meet each other. That's not going to happen. If he wanted to do this, he could have easily leveraged his influence. He's a landowner. That means that he's got wealth. He is one of their family redeemers. He could leverage that, right? But you don't see him doing that at all. It's quite interesting. In fact, what happens is that he ends up with that first date. And remember, the first date was with all of their workers. Mm-hmm. And then he tells her, you can work in the fields. And for weeks, she works in the barley field. And then for weeks, she works in the wheat field. And I just find that to be really interesting. Weeks go by. He doesn't do anything. Like, that's not – when a person's trying to have, you know, sex, when an older man – in fact, in this situation, he's going to try to have sex with Ruth and take advantage of her you're not going to have all these weeks go by like that. So right. I think you look at her, you look at a character, you look at Ruth's character. Ruth leaves Moab, turns her back on her family, tells Naomi, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to serve you. I'm loyal to you. I'm caring. I'm compassionate. I'm dedicated to you. I'm a person that follows through. I'm waking up early in the morning. I'm getting out in the field. Like, it shows her character and her integrity. In fact, she says, Naomi, your God's going to be my God. And Ruth is living a lifestyle that's actually promoting that. So I love that. I think secondly, they're both trying to honor God. And God's word is very specific in the fact that God goes, look, I'm preserve sex for marriage. And they're both trying to honor God, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I just think thirdly that, you know, you look at a guy like Boaz, he's been around. He's a little older. And I think he understands the dynamics of sex and marriage. And I think he understands that, look, when you introduce sex into a relationship before marriage, it creates a lot of problems.
Yeah. I'm reminded of a verse in Song of Solomon's that says, don't awaken love before it's time. Song of Solomon 8:4. Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right.
Yeah.
And that there is talking about, you know, having sex before marriage where it's the right time for that. So why does the Bible say that? Like, why is that advice that the church, that God gives to people? What happens when you awaken love before the time's right?
Well, look, let's get brutally honest here, okay? And if anybody knows me, I'm very transparent. Kim and I, we met, I was 15, she was 17, all right? She was smoking hot, and she had a driver's license, and she had her own little Honda Civic, all right? And all of that kind of stuff was amazing at a 15-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And we got into a relationship and started having sex early. And then I always say it this way because I think it's appropriate. We got pregnant. Not that she got pregnant. We got pregnant. And our oldest daughter, Brittany, you know, was coming along. I was still in high school. And so I know exactly why you don't want to introduce sex into a relationship before marriage. But it's not going to be for the reasons that you think. All right. First and foremost, what have I discovered? I discovered this, that you get blinded by sex and it warps your judgment. Immediately when we introduced sex into the relationship, my judgment started getting blurred. How I saw Kim started getting blurred. How she saw me started getting blurred. The decisions that we would make after that all started to degrade. Things that we would probably say we would never do, we did. We wanted to try to honor God. We were both teenagers in youth groups, but we weren't living that way. And so our judgment was getting warped because sex now became the driving force in the relationship. Let me tell you what else happened. Okay. I was too young to know this. So I hope people are listening to me right now. And I don't care if you're 30. I don't care if you're 13. I want you to hear me on this, that the minute you introduce sex into the relationship is when you stop true intimacy. People think that sex is intimacy and sex is not intimacy when it's introduced in a premarital situation. And because true intimacy in a premarital relationship and post-marriage, after even getting married, is true intimacy is really built through communication. It's how I get to know you, how I get to know your heart. And the minute you introduce sex into a dating relationship, guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, communication stops. You're not going to find out hardly anything else about them that is really going to be important to know. Do I take this relationship to the next level or not? And I think that's the reason why people get married and they end up in divorce, right? They're getting into these relationships. It's all about sex. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm going to, let's go to the deep end of the pool for a minute. The minute you introduce sex into a relationship before marriage, here's what you're doing. You're making now the whole relationship me-centered.
Wow.
And here's the reason why. Because every time you get together, all you're thinking about is how you're going to get pleasure. You're not thinking about how you're going to, you know, give them the best. You're thinking about how you're going to get the best. I know it's the deep end of the pool and it's awkward for some people to talk about. But when you do that, you're getting together and you're going, how is this going to benefit me? Now, the reason why God says preserve sex for marriage is this, that all during the dating relationship, you're figuring out how to put the other person first. How do I put you first? How do I please you? How do I make your day? How do I get to know you so that I can lift you up? I can encourage you. I can inspire you. Then when you introduce sex after marriage, you continue with sex being, how do I please you? How do I put you first? Okay. So when you introduce it beforehand, everything goes downhill. And a recent study in the Institute of Family Studies from that came out on March 6, 2023 said this, that if you have sex before marriage, you're 161% more likely to divorce compared to people who marry as virgins. Wow. So that's 2 to 3 times more likely when you introduce sex that your relationship, if it goes to marriage, is 161% more likely to end in divorce. I just don't think that's what people are looking for, mm-hmm. but they're not thinking about these things. They're just getting in and they're thinking to themselves, if I don't have sex with them, then they're going to leave me and they're going to go to somebody else. And I'm wow. telling you right now, if that's who you're dating, get out of that relationship.
Wow.
Okay. Are you tracking with me?
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
That's good.
All right. Look, let's jump back to the story though. When we get back to the story, we find out that Naomi gives the advice to Ruth and that Ruth actually follows the instructions Naomi gave her. Look at Ruth chapter 3 if you got your Bible with you. Follow along with me in verse 7 through 8. That after Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and he went to sleep. Because what's he doing really? He's out there guarding the grain. Mm-hmm. Remember when we started in chapter 1 what was going on? There was a famine. Okay. And so now the famine's over. They've got all this grain. Boaz, the landowner, is going, no one's stealing my grain. I'm sleeping right here next to the grain. Then it says, then Ruth came quietly, right? Uncovered his feet and laid down around midnight. So she's now laying there for a little bit of time. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up, right? And turned over. And he was surprised to find that a woman was laying at his feet. Duh.
Yeah.
But guys, think about it. It's not like that's weird by itself, but it's not like it's happening in 2024 where there's street lights and all this light that's all over the place. We're talking pitch black, dark. We don't know if there's clouds or there's not clouds. The moon is the only thing that can produce light. And he wakes up and he feels a woman at his feet. He doesn't even now listen, like let's be honest. He doesn't even know it's a woman. This yeah, could be a leper.
Yep.
Not a
yep.
leper, but a leopard. You know what I'm saying? You definitely don't want a leper at your feet either. Yeah, no. I'd say that right now.
Yeah.
But this could be a lion. This could be a bear. Like this could be, you know, I don't know what. Like, and he freaks out. I just love the fact that this grown, bold, burly kind of a man, you know, screeches like the junior high girl. Ah! Right, whatever he does. And this freaked him out. And I love that. But listen to what happens next. So in verse 9. Who are you, he asked. Good question, Boaz. That's a really good one. I'm your servant, Ruth, that she replied. And then she says this, spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer. So you picture it, right? He's laying there. She's laying perpendicular at his feet. His feet are uncovered, stench and all. And when he finds out that it's her, she says, here's what I want you to do. Would you take the cover and would you pull it over me? I'm not cuddling up next to you. I'm going to lay here at your feet. Okay. There's no intimacy. There's no sex here that's going to happen. I'm laying at your feet. Would you put the cover over me? Like what in the world just happened? What do you guys think that means? I just want to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think it means? What in the world just happened?
It's some kind of signal of some kind. I don't know what it means, though. Maybe that's how girls communicate. I don't know. Women are sometimes, you know, sometimes they communicate in weird ways, and it's hard to tell. Maybe this is one of the things women do. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know back then they're culturally just so different.
Yeah.
Not even just the fact that it's thousands of years ago, but the fact that it's on the complete other side of the world from us.
Right,
so culturally, there's so many differences there. Where from us Americans, this seems so weird, but to them, this is just a normal thing that was maybe part of the, you want to date me? Do you want to marry me? Like maybe it's one of those asking precursor questions.
Ooh, man, maybe you're right. Carrie, you got any bright ideas?
I'm just thinking she's making herself available. She's letting him know, I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? You guys are correct. Back in that day, this whole idea of an actual physical cloth covering a woman from another man is a signal that I'm marrying you and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to support you. You are mine. In fact, did you guys realize that even to this day in some Eastern cultures, they still do that as a part of the ceremony in marriage? That they, in the ceremony, they'll take a thin cloth and they will cover them, signifying that I'm marrying you, you're mine, I'm going to take care of you. And so here she is. So Naomi's basically sending Ruth to tell Boaz, I know that you're not the closest family redeemer, but you've been so kind, and Ruth is choosing you, by the way.
Wow.
She's choosing you. So here's what's so cool about it. Like, Ruth is the one turning the turn signal on. Boaz, by the way, I'm available, and I would really like to be married to you. That's what Ruth is doing. Mm-hmm. That's what she's doing. She's turning that turn signal on.
Okay. That's crazy.
Is that mind blown? Should we bring that back? Is that what's happening?
I don't know that that's what we should do right now. I don't know if that's exactly what we should do in our culture.
Right.
But if you look at today's culture,
yeah.
Right, let's make it practical for people. Right. Okay, that's what Ruth did to signal that she was interested and available if Boaz was interested and available. So what's the best way for someone to date that signal that, hey, I'm available. I want to take this relationship to the next level.
Man, it's a really good question. What do you do if you're in a relationship and you want to take it to the next level? You're in friends and you would like to date. You're dating and you're thinking to yourself like, okay, it's been enough. Like, I know, I want to marry you. Guys, come on. The younger generation, like, give us some thoughts on this. What would you do? You got any ideas? You want me to start?
What? I mean, I'm just going to go along with the theme of Ruth that you've already talked about.
Okay.
Half of the book is conversation, so maybe we should just play right into that and just be able to have open conversation, because you've said if we can't have open conversation in a dating relationship, well, you're not going to have an open conversation and
that's
great
good.
Conversation
totally.
In a marriage relationship. So you just talk and be honest with one another, and I think this is as men— communication is a great way for us to begin to lead spiritually. We talk about leading spiritually all the time within the church. What does that look like? Well, start doing that in a dating relationship and start asking those questions and having those conversations early and leading that as the man in the relationship.
Oh, man, I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Kara?
Here's the thing, though. Also, because Ruth is a woman, right? And she's the one who's saying, I'm here, I'm interested. Listen, sometimes guys need just a little bit bigger sign, right? So ladies, sometimes you got to be the one to say, hey, I really like spending time with you. I'd like to see if this could be something more. Because you can't be mad at him. Like, oh, he didn't ask me out on a date. Oh, he didn't ask me to be his girlfriend or whatever.
Oh,
if
man.
He doesn't know that you want it, you can't be mad at him.
Dude.
That's good. But let me put some pressure on the guys, too.
Okay.
Sometimes guys, women want a guy who's going to be a little bit bold, have a little bit of courage, someone who's going to be a leader. So if you're interested, I'm going to use the term man up a little bit and tell her how you feel. You don't have to play games. Don't send her the text. And then when she replies, you know, wait a day to respond.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Use your words. Let them know, hey, I think you're great. X, Y, and Z is what I like about you. I'd like to explore if our relationship could be more.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's talking about, hey, I'm interested in maybe proposing or having that conversation. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes we think, oh, it just has to be left unsaid. No, it can be said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, that is that. You're right about that. I want to also add this: like, if you're thinking about taking a relationship to the next level, can I just suggest that you have prayed about that, and that the next thing you're getting ready to do, whether it's turning the turn signal on, right, letting them know, or it's manning up, or whatever it is, that you're doing that out of obedience to the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. So, is there a piece that I should do this? Let me give you one more thing. I think seeking godly counsel. So finding some people in your life that they know you, you trust them, they've got your best interest in mind, seeking other godly counsel. Should I do this? Is this right? Like, am I missing something? What's going on here? That's not doubting, right? That's using what God's given you. It's using some wisdom.
Yeah, don't make the decision in a silo.
There you go.
Bring others in.
I like that, man. Come on. Don't make it in a silo.
Yeah, so let's bring it back to the story then. Ruth has said she's available. Let's see what Boaz does.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's see what Boaz does with that. Ruth 3, starting
let's take
in verse
a commercial
12.
Break.
No, we're not going to leave him on that cliffhanger. We're going to get to the juicy bit here.
The juicy bit.
It was a good choice of words. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 12. But while it's true that I am one of your family redeemers, this is Boaz talking to Ruth, there's another man who is more closely related to you than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning, I'll talk to him. If he's willing to redeem you, very well. Let him marry you. But if he's not willing, then as surely as the Lord lives, I will redeem you myself. Now, lie down here until morning. So, Pastor Jeff, what just happened here?
Well, I'll tell you, here's what really happened. There's a big obstacle in the way. There's a big obstacle in the way from this story ending with the big fairy tale ending where Boaz and Ruth lock arms together and they skip through the barley field into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And the trail, the credits roll, you know, and everyone sits around waiting for like the next little clip to see if there's a part two,
yeah.
Right? There's a big obstacle. And this tells you now why, if I can use your words, it tells you why Boaz hasn't manned up. It gives it to you. It tells you, like, Boaz already knows. He is not the next in line. And it goes back to what I was talking about last week, you know, on Sunday, that Boaz is showing kindness even though he didn't have to. He's not legally bound to do any of the things that he's doing for Ruth. And I think it goes back again. So you ask me, like, well, how do you know they're not having sex? Well, because Boaz right here is already knowing. He's going like, I'm not the next in line. There's someone else. And when you discover this, I am a man of godly character, and I don't want to be the one who has screwed it all up. I'm trying to honor God. Like, it, all the pieces start to come together right here. And I think what you're going to discover, if I can just kind of like tell you, you're going to want to be here on Sunday to hear where we're going next, because Boaz definitely mans up.
Yeah.
All right. You're definitely going to want to hear that. So Ruth goes, I'm all in. And I think she does that, just like Carrie, you talked about. And then you start to see some things about Boaz. You start to see his character start to come out here. You start to see, okay, Boaz is not desperate. He's not been a desperate guy. Boaz is an honoring man. He's been honoring both tradition. He's been honoring Ruth the entire time in ways that she didn't even know. In fact, he's been protecting her in ways that she didn't know. He's been looking out for her. He's been providing for her, allowing her to kind of mature, grow up a little bit, discover all of the pieces so that he doesn't take advantage of her. He wants her to have all of the pieces. He wants her to know everything so that when she's making a choice and she's choosing him, she's doing that out of complete maturity, right? Boaz continues to show his godly character. I think Boaz also continues to prove, like we talked about last week, Boaz is a keeper.
Yeah.
This dude proves it. He is a keeper.
Yeah, so if this is a chick flick that we're watching right now, this is the part of the story where you're like, okay, there's this person and this person, and I want them to be together, but then there's this big plot point of something that has to be overcome.
Ooh,
and
so true.
That's where the chick flick starts to get good.
Yeah.
But that part is coming on Sunday, so you guys need to join back for part 5 to find out what happens.
Here we go. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
So in wrapping up, what are the lessons so far that we're learning from Ruth, from the book of Ruth? Help us. What have we learned so far? What are we learning from the book of Ruth?
Well, I think in a just a practical way, if you put yourself in the right place, you increase your odds to meet the right person. So that's what Ruth did. Ruth had a choice as a widow. Am I going to go sell my body and sex? Am I going to go stand on the street corner and beg? Instead, she decides, no, I'm going to do what's honorable, and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to work. Mm-hmm. And she puts herself in the field. And God directs that. God takes that good intention. I'm going to do the opposite of what's easy or cheap, right? Or what's allowable. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to go after a godly character. I'm going to put myself in the field. God directs her to Boaz's field where she meets Boaz. That's not by accident. God directed those steps. I think sometimes you got to put yourself in the right place. What would be the right place?
Church.
Church.
Yep.
Life group.
Life group.
Somewhere where you're volunteering, serving.
Serving. Let me tell you one big spiritual place. The lobby.
Whoa.
Whoa. Be at church early. Don't leave church before it's done. Hang out in the lobby. Meet people.
Talk to people.
Talk to people.
Wow.
All right. That's one thing. I think that's a lesson we're learning. What else?
I think what stands out to me is the idea that Ruth, we talked about how she wants, her and Boaz both want something that honors God. Mm. This is what they want. And so Ruth does what she needs to in the moment to honor God. And then I think you mentioned it on Sunday that there were weeks that went by from their first date to then what next happened.
Yep.
And I think in today's society, we can get we got to do this week and next month's got to be a next milestone. Mm. But sometimes you just got to, we've talked about it here, Trevor, I think you said it. Sometimes things just take time. Be who God wants. Honor God today with what you're doing, and then watch him lead those next steps.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think sometimes you also have to go after what you want, speaking to the guys again. If there's someone that you're interested in and it seems right to you, to the Lord and to the godly counsel, use your words. Put yourself out there.
Yep.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yep.
They say no. And you'll still be alive.
Yep. Go lay at somebody's feet.
No, don't do that.
Oh, okay. Don't do that. Okay.
I would have to say that. But no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Anything else?
Yeah. I love watching Boaz throughout this whole thing because, again, he's not closest in line.
Yep.
So he could have just completely distanced himself and not done any of the things for her. He could have just brushed her off. Yep. I think what I get from the fact that Boaz's character is speaking so much is that sometimes either guys and girls can say, where are all these good Christian people at? Where's my hubby? Where's that guy or that gal who is loving Jesus? They're around.
Yeah.
But it's going to take an intentionality out of us to go find them. They don't just happen. These situations don't just happen. Go get in a life group.
Yep.
Go and get involved on a serving team.
You've
got to get yourself out there. They're not just going to be, this isn't a fairy tale. They're not just going to walk into that door someday and say, hey, like Robert said, I like you. I want to marry you.
Yep.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
It takes intentionality. So I just love watching Boaz's character throughout the whole story.
That's great, man. I think one last lesson, you were kind of tapping on it, Kara, would be this, that if you want a marriage or a relationship that honors God in the future, then you got to live a life that honors God today. I think that's what we see these guys doing. They're setting themselves up for a beautiful, beautiful picture in the future. And what do we know about their future? They end up getting married. They end up having a son named Obed. Okay. That son grows up and has a son, and his name is Jesse. And Jesse grows up and has some boys. And the youngest of those boys is a guy by the name of David, who becomes King David. Okay, the greatest king Israel's ever seen. And in the lineage of King David, you keep going down the line, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is born. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's exactly what they're doing here. If you want a relationship that's going to honor God in the future, you have to honor God today. And they're both honoring God today. And we get a snapshot into their future because we already see it because it's already happened. And yes, it's true. God honors their future.
That's so good. That's so good. This has been an incredible conversation, and I hope that this is equipping you who are listening with taking the next step. Is it time to take the next step in our relationship? Should we start dating? Should we propose? Should we break up? I hope that you take this advice, you apply it to your life. Maybe there's someone that you want to send this content to. You can share it to them. Copy the link wherever you're watching. Share it to someone else so that they can be equipped and encouraged. And join us Sunday as we dive in to see what happens next in the Ruth and Boaz story. And then we have one more Wednesday midweek for you to join and be a part of as well. Until then, have a great rest of your week.
Hold on.
I'm holding on.
Think about that.
Hold on to what you got.
Oh, here he goes.
I don't know the rest of the lyrics. None of make it or not.
Yeah. I got each other.
And that's a love or love. Give us a shot. Oh, we're halfway there.
Oh,
living on a prayer. Lipstick on a pear.
What?
Lemon on a chair.
Okay, just start it, Robert.
Trevor's going to leave.